Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
The Super Bowl for Catholics starts today, and all Christians.
I like that. The Super Bowl for Catholics.
Yes.
Yeah, like that's good.
It is Ash Wednesday, folks. Hope everyone had a great Mardi Gras yesterday, but now we're buckling down, getting serious about our faith. Hmm. Well, we're serious with a touch of humor here most days. Todd Sylvester's with me. Mike Romano, Reed Hodges. Ash Wednesday, you ready? You ready?
Hey, you know what? But though, actually, it's more the off season because that's where championships are won in the off season.
Yeah.
Okay. January, February.
It's got a point.
Yeah. That's why you like ordinary time.
I do.
I know.
It's where we live.
That's right.
So it is Ash Wednesday, not a holy day of obligation, but a great day to get to Mass.
And a day of fasting and abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the drive-through line at McDonald's, make sure that you get the biscuit without the sausage, please.
Oh, I was going to say, are they serving fish sandwiches for breakfast?
Not for breakfast.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, so there's no meat today, and it's a day of fasting.
Right.
And the way exactly that's supposed to look is up to you, really. I mean, the church kind of gives some light parameters, but it's a fasting day.
Yeah.
Well, you should be a little hungry today.
I feel like that most days.
Okay.
Here we go, though. We're going to open with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting this campaign of Christian service, so that as we take up battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Spectrum Collision, serving the Mobile community for over 40 years. Spectrum provides mechanic and collision repair, tires, 24-hour towing, and more. Located on Airport Boulevard in Mobile, call Spectrum at 251-342-0005 or visit speakhold.com.
Headlines for Ash Wednesday, February 14th. After serving as a museum for more than 79 years, the Turkish government is proceeding with plans to make the Church of the Holy Savior in Istanbul a mosque, mirroring the 2020 reversion of the Hagia Sophia. Prayers and Islamic rites will be performed once again in the ancient church. Stocks tumbled yesterday as the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 525 points, recording its worst one-day loss in nearly a year. On news that inflation ran hotter than expected in January, stoking investors' fears that interest rates may not be coming down soon.
Shocked.
After the Senate earlier on Tuesday passed a bipartisan $95 billion emergency defense package that provides aid to Ukraine, President Biden forcefully urged its approval in the House. Russian government has placed Estonian Prime Minister Kaja Kallas on its list of wanted criminals.
Oh, wow.
Due to the removal of Soviet monuments in Estonia. Although the United States remains the runaway leader in the number of Starbucks outlets, Asian countries, including China, Japan, and South Korea, are close on its heels. The U.S. has over 16,000 outlets, and China is second with almost 7,000 Starbucks. The House of Representatives impeached Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas yesterday with a 214 to 213 vote. Mayorkas became the first sitting cabinet official in history to be impeached.
Oh, well, now let's see what the Senate does. Nothing.
Super Bowl 58 and the between the Kansas City Chiefs, their 25-22 overtime win over the San Francisco 49ers was the most watched telecast in history.
Wow.
And shattered ratings records for CBS. Yeah. And a dog went missing from a family friend's Colorado home in 2020 turned up 4 years later near the Mexican border, nearly 600 miles
away.
They found the dog.
Somebody must have driven him down there.
I don't know. It's 4 years later, and they found the dog.
He took a wrong turn somewhere.
And the video of the reuniting is awesome. Yeah, it'll totally make you cry. Totally make you cry.
Well, on the line with us, ready to kick off this Lent as only he can, Tom Riello. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today on this cold day here in the capital of dreams? Chilly out.
Yes.
35.
First numbers of three.
Yeah. We don't like to leave our house when it's a three. Oh, so Tom, everyone's tuning in now to get set. I feel like Tom Riello is going to set the pace for Lent on just give us kind of our marching orders, kind of like the coach to send us out there, right?
Hey, I love all the metaphors this morning. You know, we might bring a couple of those up in the show today. Okay. Here's the thing. I think it's important, right? Why do we put the ash on the head? And the ashes symbolize at least three things, right? The words, you are but dust, and to dust you shall return, remind us of our own mortality. From Genesis 3, the Lord tells Adam and Eve, you're going to return to the dust for what you have done. Psalm 90, we are reminded that the Lord has numbered our days and that should teach us wisdom. And so the first principle here to keep in mind, the symbolism of the ashes, we're mortal. We're going to die. The second thing to keep in mind is repentance. And so when Jonah went out to preach to the Ninevites, what did they do? They repented, we're told, in sackcloth and ashes, right? And so the ashes symbolize repentance. And then the third thing we think about, and your opening prayer that we pray today in the collect, Ellen, hits it 100%. Very clear. We are in a spiritual battle. And so the third symbolism of the ashes, you look at the book of Judith. When the Israelites would go out to war, what would they do? They would gather around the temple. The priest would convene them. The priest would bless them. And one of the things that they would do is they would put ashes upon their foreheads. It actually says it in the book of Judith multiple times. And then what would happen is they would blow the trumpet and they would get ready to go fight. And so these three meanings are very important. We're mortal. We're going to die. We need to repent. And we are in a spiritual battle. And so these three meanings, and we can kind of unpack those, but I think it's something for us to keep in mind as we get the ashes placed upon our foreheads.
I'm fascinated by how many people, I mean, they can't be serious about this, but they'll say things like, well, Todd, I don't want to talk about that. Don't say I'm going to die. That's like mean.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like asking somebody how much they weigh. Like, you just don't do things like that.
Right. It's considered bad form. I tell my students at the school, if you ever want to break up the cocktail party, tell everybody, hey, you know what? Our days are numbered. Right? That's going to break up the cocktail party. But it's true. It's true. I am mortal. You are mortal. We are all mortal. The Lord knows our frame. He remembers we are but dust. And, you know, this has real practical implications. Somebody recently said, and I think he's 100% right, that the most dangerous people in the world are people who think they're God. You can't reason with people who think they're God. Who are the safest people? The people who know they're not God. The people who know that they don't have it all figured out, that they're humble. Listen, I'm going to go there. We saw this in COVID. We saw the elites basically tell us how we needed to live every moment of our life. And they loved it. They dictated it. In the state of New York right now, they're still in COVID protocols in hospitals, and they are cracking down. I know a story recently where they kicked people out in the state of New York for violating COVID protocols. Once people taste power, it's like blood in the water. They can't give it up because they begin to get a very inflated view of self. When you forget God, as Archbishop Brody said so long ago, we forget who we are. And oftentimes, as Nietzsche said in The Madman, let us rejoice for this day because we have become God. God is dead. We have killed him and we have become God. If you think I'm exaggerating, read Nietzsche. He actually is excited about the prospect that God is dead. And so mortality, I'm reminded I'm not God. I'm frail. I'm broken. And so that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. St. Francis of Assisi said a Christian should meditate on his or her death on a daily basis. And that's an important thing for us to do. And so the ashes remind us that I'm mortal.
I think the challenge for us is this philosophy bumps against a world that tells them you're not immortal.
You can live forever.
Yes.
You can live forever.
A few injections.
Yes.
And,
and there's a bunch of stuff on Amazon you need to buy.
Yes. So the world lives like there is no place beyond our earthly existence. And I think those people that really live like that, and they do it a disservice.
What do they do at funerals?
I don't know. I think they go and just put the bodies in the freezer. Remember all those... A lot of famous people have, like, cryo-frozen themselves in the hope of coming back, I think. You know, they might need God for that.
It's a strange merging of what John Paul II called the culture of life and the culture of death. Mm-hmm. We actually live in a culture of death, yet there is this desire for immortality that we can't escape, mm-hmm. and yet we want to do it on the latest technocratic terms. Pope Benedict pointed that out in Spe Salvi when he said so hauntingly, in the modern age, technology has replaced Christ as the object of man's hope. And we see that. But you know what? If we've got to crack a few eggs along the way to bring about this immortality, you hear people talking about it. So we almost have this insatiable desire for euthanasia at all costs and mandated euthanasia. Look to our friends to the north of the border. You know, it's this strange thing. So we have to learn how to embrace it. And I think, Todd, you hit the nail on the head in the pre-show. I always say the pre-show tapes are going to be the best tapes. You know what? Were it that we had a mini Lent in the middle of summer, right? And I think the attitude and spirit of Lent really needs to be lived every day, which is, what is the purpose of what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. Dying to self and living to Christ. That is what I'm doing. And, you know, we said the second point is repentance, right? And there's two words that are at the heart of this concept of repentance in the Bible. In the Hebrew, it's the word shuv, which literally is translated as turn around. So whenever you read in the Old Testament, brothers and sisters in Archangel Radio Land, whenever you hear those words turn around in the Old Testament, typically the word in mind is this repentance, this concept of turning back to God. In Greek, the word is metanoia, which literally is changing your mind about how you view things. You know, how do you look at life? Do you look at life merely from your perspective? Like you were saying, Ellen, you know, this technocratic world that wants immortality, right? They're not thinking with God's perspective, right? And so metanoia, I look at the world the way God does. I look at myself the way God does. And I look at my neighbor the way God does. If you do those things, folks, it's going to change your life. It really is. And so repentance, when we take these two words together, as Pope Benedict beautifully did some years ago, we see a certain turning back to God by the changing of your mind, the way you look at life. And what do? I come to my senses. What does Isaiah the prophet say in chapter 1? Come, let us reason together, says the Lord, right? Why fight with me? You're not going to win. Mm-hmm. Come to your senses. Come to your senses. And that's what we do. And then the other thing to keep in mind is the spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:16, we're told by St. Paul that our enemy, the devil, throws at us flaming arrows, these flaming darts. And what are those flaming darts? I think it's many ways. It's the battle of the mind, the heart, the soul, right? Reminding us of our past sins, like these flaming arrows that come our way. You know, we have to be on guard against that. Well, Ephesians 6 tells us we are in a spiritual battle. And this is what it means to take up the armor of God. And we need to be put into the armor of God. And so we have to fight every day. We are in a spiritual battle. And again, going back to that opening prayer for today, folks, we are armed with weapons of self-restraint. Isn't that beautiful?
You know, Tom, in hearing you say that, you know, I'm getting fired up and I'm thinking I'm no warrior. Like people
church militant.
Yeah.
You are a warrior.
But it doesn't feel, I think a lot of people don't feel like that when they're in the midst of their own life or their own battles. And it's hard for them to grasp the good that they can do as a warrior. And I think maybe that's what a lot of people need to recognize in themselves. Because there's a lot of defeatism out there, Tom. People are like, there's nothing I can do to change this madness in this world. There's nothing. I'm too little. It's going to take powers greater than me or just me and my will. So I don't know how we invigorate our church militant to go out and be that. And especially maybe Lent's the time for that.
And I would encourage people, you know, Dan, a couple weeks ago after I came on, he was talking about the spiritual life. And I think one of the things that Dan does a great job of is he deals with people where they are. And if you are not used to reading the Bible for 20, 30 minutes, I know people who read the Bible an hour a day. I know people who pray 4 or 5 rosaries a day. Most of us are not at that point. Well, don't start Lent going, I'm going to pray 5 rosaries a day. You're not even used to praying a decade. Uh-huh. Yeah. But you know what? I think what Dan Burke, and Dan can correct me, you know, if I'm stepping on what he would say, but I think Dan would say, start with a rosary. Mm-hmm. Start with reading the mass readings. Don't, you know, and build up towards something. And I think that's what people should do, because the enemy likes to make us feel defeatist. When you feel defeatist, you are playing into the enemy's hands. You're playing the game, you know, we're using the football imagery. Peyton Manning said that Bill Belichick got in my head. He knew. He got, why did Peyton Manning was too darn good. That's why he was terrible against Belichick, because it was a game of cat and mouse between the two of them, and it was a constant battle. If it was Peyton Manning was not as good a quarterback as he was mentally, he probably would have played better, because he just would have played the game.
Right.
But he got in his head. And I think the enemy wants to get in our head and make you feel like you're a failure and you're a loser. Well, you are not.
But that's exactly what he does. I mean, the skill set of Satan is that he continually lies to us. And then he sets us up in this dark place, and he just kind of surrounds it. And what Christ is doing, and what Lent is great about, is bringing light into our situation so that we can really see everything. And then our expectations are good and true and beautiful. Everything about it. We watched the last episode of Our Father's Father yesterday as a family. And, you know, I cried every single one of those darn things. But they were talking about the prodigal son. And, you know, who do you associate yourself? Because in all aspects of life, sometimes we are that prodigal son. Sometimes we're the father. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're the older brother. And I think sometimes in my life, that's where I end up being more often, is the older brother. And those expectations of, God, I'm doing all these things. I'm doing all these things. I'm doing the stuff. And yet I have expectations. Like, I expect you to bless me in the way that I expect to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And God's looking at me like, man, you need to open your eyes. You need to get a better viewpoint. And I think that's what Lent is all about, right, Tom?
Absolutely. It really does give you the opportunity to see life as God does. You know, I remember hearing years ago a professor say, one of the main goals of the spiritual life is to think God's thoughts after him. In other words, what are you occupying your mind and your heart with? What are you meditating on day in and day out? Psalm 1 is a great example. The chewing of the cud. You know, I meditate on your word. Psalm 119. Colossians 3, set your mind on things above. Romans 12, right? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I think that's one of the reasons why it is important to listen to Archangel Radio. It is important to put into your mind and your heart the things of God throughout the day. What are the things that we are consuming? And I think it's something, you know, Father Driscoll was saying yesterday, our goal is not merely to give up, but in many ways, it's also to add something into. So yeah, give up that piece of pecan pie or whatever, and that's great. And that is an act of self-restraint. But maybe add into your life 5 minutes of Bible reading, or 10 minutes of Bible reading, or Father Mike's Bible in a Year, or maybe downloading the Archangel Radio podcast and listening to LA Catholic Morning and listening to the great guests that are on. Whatever it is, and I love what you said, Todd, it's uniquely suited to us, right? It's not one size fits all. And I think that's sometimes where we become the older brother. Oh, look at Todd. He's got all this going for him over here. And I, you know, what am I doing? You know, and then I start getting envious, because what first starts out as a kind of praise quickly can become a kind of envy, right? I become secretly envious. And that's dangerous, right? That's very dangerous. God is working with me. Pope Benedict once said, how many ways are there to God? He says, as many people in the world. What he meant by that is Christ is the center point for everybody, but the way God brings Christ to us is often very different.
I think that's a good point. In the prodigal son story, too, we always focus on the second son that returns and comes back. In the reality, and maybe a lot of our listeners, we're like the older son that's been there doing the good work and not being rewarded in a way that he thinks he should be rewarded. And that's just a selfish kind of love rather than an overflowing love for his brother who has returned. I think that's really a hard challenge for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, it is. It's a battle. It's a constant battle. And I think that's the key thing. We are in a battle. You know, we use the football imagery. You said the Super Bowl of Lent. Mike said it's the offseason where championships are won. And I think in many ways that's so true. I'm going to use something that Father Pat Arensberg talked about, his great love for football. You know, he thinks of Lent as kind of the two-a-days. It's the two-a-days. It's that hot, beaming sun. It's 100 degrees. You don't want to practice. You got to get that water in, right? But in many ways, that is where the championship is begun to win. But we don't end. We don't end practicing when the season starts. We still practice. We don't practice at the same level of intensity to build endurance. But we are working things out. And I think that kind of touches on what Todd said, that, you know, mini Lent. We need a mini Lent. We always need Lent. And so Lent is not just something that we do for the 40 days and so on. But Lent is really a spirit and an attitude that we should carry with us until we breathe our last breath on this earth. Because I'm always going to be a sojourner in exile, as Scott Hahn recently pointed out in his wonderful new book, Catholics in Exile.
Wow. Amen. Great way to kick off our Lent. Tom Riello, thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Stay warm.
Yes.
Stay warm.
Thanks,
we
Tom.
Will.
Good Lent.
Bye, everybody. Have a great Lent. God bless you all. Bye.
Bye.
Love that guy.
I know. Well, you know, we're starting out strong with our leadoff hitter. Mariana Coleman's joining the show. Life After Love and Loss. You really want to hear the story. It's going to break your heart, but it's going to lift you up in ways you didn't even know. Stay with
grab
us.
Grab the tissues.
By the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. And you ask me what I want this year, and I try to make this kind and clear. Just a chance that maybe we'll find better days.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor, mm-hmm. Mike the Great, and Reed. On the line, Mariana Coleman. Mari, you don't know me. Mm-hmm. My wife and I went to college with your father-in-law. So,
yes, mm-hmm. Gordon told me to say hello.
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet.
And I mean, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I'm sure you love your father-in-law, especially now that you're living with him, but he has always been that amazing. Like, just,
oh, yeah.
You know, no duplicity in him, just pure heart, fantastic guy. And so we've been following the story, and I don't even know where to begin, because you know, you start with this incredible excitement. They're so excited about you and Nate getting married. And for our listeners who are not familiar with the story, can you kind of give us the Reader's Digest version?
Yeah. So Nathaniel and I met in October of 2021 and quickly started dating after that. And then the December after, in 2022, we got engaged, and then we got married October of 2023. And 3 days later, the first morning we spent on our honeymoon, we planned on going water skiing.
Oh man. Right. Mike, you get her back.
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
We won't leave them hanging there.
I'm not.
So they were on their honeymoon in St. Lucia. And they were water skiing, and a terrible accident happened, and Nate drowned 3 days after they were married.
Which,
any of us could imagine that kind of heartache.
I can't imagine that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that, you know, mm-hmm. Nate is their only child.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I can't mm-hmm. imagine being in a situation mm-hmm. where you lose a child, but to be your only child.
Only child, yeah.
3 days after they're married. I mean, you're in the midst of all this joy.
Mm-hmm. Do we have Mari back?
Yeah, we got her back.
Okay. Mari, are you here with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
So sorry.
No,
that's okay.
We have issues with the phone sometimes.
Yeah. So you got right to the point where you were on your honeymoon for on the third day you went water skiing, and there was a terrible accident. We shared that with the listeners.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So just right after just the great joy of entering into the beautiful sacrament, he was taken to the arms of our Lord, which yeah, and our story has kind of touched the hearts of many, and yeah, we're just wanting to continue to share it with people as we can.
Well, the story continues, though, because in the midst of that tragedy, and my wife, you know, would share these things on from Facebook, and I mean, we prayed so ardently, and we just, our hearts were broken. But then there was joy that came about, right, Mari?
Yes. On Thanksgiving morning, I decided to take a pregnancy test, and it turned out to be positive, which was just such a gift. Yeah, in the midst of it all, we asked the Lord to, you know, maybe perform a miracle and bring Nathaniel back to life. And we so ardently wanted that prayer to be answered, of course. But the Lord had different plans, and now Nathaniel will be living on in this child. So, yeah, it's just been a great joy.
Because I can only imagine being in this situation. You know, my wife and I, very blessed, we have 10 children. And I still would pray so ardently that I don't have to bury any of my kids. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever be in that circumstance. But if it was an only child... And then I know Gordon had shared that he really wanted to be a grandfather. And then when his son passed away, he's thinking, well, I guess the chances are gone. But God just continues to pour out blessings, right?
Yeah, for sure. And we saw that from the very beginning, just how God was always present with us and blessing us throughout it all. So it was just... Yeah, this was just an extra of like, God is still here and he still has a plan and he's still good and he's still love, which is not something we ever doubted, but it's easy for people to doubt in moments of loss and death. But it's important to remember that, yeah, he is good.
We're speaking with Mariana Coleman, and you can read her story in ncregister.com. It really is a beautifully written article on just the journey that you and Nate went through and your in-laws. And I think that's the hardest thing for us to grasp that you just said, is that we know God is in everything, but sometimes we just can't see it because of the pain we're going through or the suffering. And then he reveals it in these moments of joy, and you're like, God was there the whole time. I may not have seen it or felt it, but he was there, like lifting and carrying us. And to be given this gift of now a child after being married for 3 days and being able to just bring that joy and have some joy in your life and in the grandparents' life, because what joy for them too. Now you're living with them now, right? Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm living with them for as long as they'll have me, which they say forever.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Which is, yeah. I just think, you know, at first, as a dad, I'll tell you, mm-hmm. and as a grandfather, I don't know how I felt when I heard that you were pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I hate to admit that right now, but because I was like, oh my. And then my heart really changed when I heard that you were moving in with your in-laws, because I'm like, okay, she's going to be taken care of. And it, you know, it's going to be not only all right, it's going to be wonderful. Does that make sense, Mari?
Yes. I couldn't have it any other way. You know, I, from the moment that it happened, they made sure that, you know, they weren't going anywhere and that I knew that, and, you know, that they were going to stick with me through it all. And we have kind of just stuck with each other, because as much as, you know, I need them, they need me, and our hearts break for each other. So there's times when I'm comforting them and there's times where they're comforting me. And so, yeah, we're just going through it step by step and still walking forward and, you know, trying to not move on, but yeah, continue moving forward and still taking Nathaniel in the moments with us as we continue this journey of life on this side of the veil.
Amen. On the earlier segment, we were talking about the prodigal son and mm-hmm. the older brother mm-hmm. and how he said, hey, you know, I did everything right. I did all the things for you, and yet I had expectations. You know, you never even offered me a goat for, to have with my friends. And I think sometimes we get into that mode where we're doing all the right things, like you and Nathaniel did all the right things. And I think the expectation, which, by the way, is a good desire to have a long mm-hmm. life together and to have lots of kids. I mean, it would have been a really good, wonderful thing. But and yet God is sometimes he says, well, I've got a different plan. It's not what you're expecting. And yet I'm going to pour out my heart and all of this grace into your lives. Like I just imagine what it's like right now and then what it's going to be like once the baby is born. I really do think that God is going to make this so beautiful, Mari.
Yes, and he already has. And yeah, it's easy to like kind of just fall into the like, but why, you know, and why God had a different plan. Like we did do everything right and we were hoping for a long and happy life but together, but you know, I'm sad for, you know, myself and Heather and Gordon and the baby that won't get to know his father and his or her father until they get to heaven. But I'm overjoyed for Nathaniel and that he's with the Heavenly Father. Like that's all he's ever wanted. And that's kind of how our relationship was founded, was we were both chasing after the Father's hearts, and he just made it there before I did. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
That's really a beautiful way to look at life and love and our journey, because we were talking particularly on this Ash Wednesday where we are reminded from dust we come and dust we shall return, and we're all going there. And not everyone gets there with a heart that you have, Mari, that recognizes that is our journey all along, and we don't get to decide the length of it. You know, that's in God's hands, and we just do the best and keep our hearts open on this journey. And I think it's a great story for this Ash Wednesday to remind us all that God is in control of all of these things, and his path may be not be what we think, but it's beautifully made.
Yes, amen.
It is. So your plans, when is the baby due, Mari?
The baby's due July 17th. Mm-hmm. So I am almost halfway through the pregnancy already, which is amazing. I don't know the gender yet, so I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. But yeah, it's been a smooth sailing pregnancy. I think God has blessed me in that way and showed me mercy a bit, no morning sickness or anything like that. So yeah, we're super excited for July.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Mercy.
I know. You've left Todd speechless, which is
hard to do. That's unusual. That's unusual.
And I know you've been lifted up by so many prayers, you know, because we walked in pre-show and when I said, did you read the article? And Todd's like, I know him. I know her father-in-law. It's a small world, and we all are connected in prayer. And I bet Todd was praying for you long before you ever had got to have this conversation with him.
Oh, my goodness. I know. I always say the world is small, but the Catholic world is also smaller.
Yeah.
Through prayer, we're all just so connected. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, it's really been shown through evidently, like, since the story happened, so many people have gathered in prayer for us, which has just kept us on our feet, and we're oh so grateful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should know that everything that's been said about you all has just been amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was, you know, storybook mm-hmm. sort of things. And I distinctly remember my wife coming to me, and she was asking, she said, we need to pray right now, because Heather wants us to actually pray for him, Nathaniel, to be raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. And excuse me. And I thought, that's a mother's prayer. I mean, that's beautiful. That's absolutely mm-hmm. beautiful, because, you know, there's so much goodness. And my heart goes out to you, Mari. My heart goes out to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that prayer was, we were so grateful that so many people were willing to to step out in faith in that way and, you know, ask the Lord for a big miracle like that, especially for us. And, you know, it's hard to fathom sometimes, you know, asking the Lord for something big like that. But we had no doubt that if it was in the Lord's will, Nathaniel was going to come back to life. And we just thank everybody that grew in their faith maybe in that moment and asking the Lord for that miracle. And yeah, just like, and walking with us through this faith journey. And yeah, we just want to continue to have people walking with us, which is why we were so overjoyed to share that with the world that I am pregnant, and to have continued prayers and support and love coming our way has just been so uplifting and comforting.
Wow. Mariana Coleman, thank you so much. We'll continue to pray for you, the baby, and your whole family. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you so much. God bless.
You too. Wow. Wow. That was a Ash Wednesday story we all needed to hear. But this show's not done. Dan Burke's coming up next. He's going to bring it home. Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay. Home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. It is Ash Wednesday. What a day to kick off Lent. We've had an all-star show, Todd, and this is going to bring it home right here. Dan Burke's joining us. You can connect with Dan at spiritualdirection.com. I was looking forward to it, Dan, since Mike sent me what we were going to talk about, and I felt like you were the coach sending us out for Lent. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I was just listening to the commercial preceding the segment, and I like that. Take your tackle box, your spiritual tackle box. That was good.
Amen.
Amen. They can find the nuggets of these shows, Dan, and craft together something for those people that don't get to hear it.
You guys are doing a great job. Yeah, I mean, a few things about Lent. One is it's Ash Wednesday, mm-hmm. and if you waited till today, wasn't the greatest move, but it's not too late. I think we really need to wake up, I think, to the reality of how profound the graces are that come in this season. And I've been a little surprised in talking with even devout Catholics recently that didn't know that this season held for them more of God's presence, more of his grace, more of his provision. They sort of looked at it as a kind of, well, you know, it's morning or it's afternoon, it's the same day, it's just a tad different, but it's not just a little different, it's a lot different. And so many, I'm sure, well, I mean, if you just look at the data and the statistics, so many Catholics are stuck in sin, in despair, in, cycles of anxiety. And it's not too late to look up and to participate more fully in the sacraments and in the liturgical graces that the Lord has for us. So, take some time today. My advice would be take some time today and ask the Lord, you know, what is it in you that he wants to heal you of, that you can begin to cooperate with him in his healing? What's that habitual sin that is just constantly wrecking you, but maybe it's time to move past it? Or what is that virtue that the Lord has been calling us to? So that's the first thought I had with you guys this morning, is it's not too late. All we need is to sit down for a half an hour and ask the Lord, and he'll reveal a new path for us.
And the new path is not always, you know, here, I think in our show so far, we've been talking about expectations. It's not always what we expect. Like a number of years ago, I started out Lent and it was flat. It just wasn't happening. And I really did have a plan, Dan, but I don't know if my plan was really in line with God's desire, you know, in God's heart. And I went to adoration and I'm like, Lord, this Lent stinks so far. Like I'm 2 weeks in and I'm not, I'm
not feeling it.
Well, not even not feeling it. You can tell, mm-hmm. You can just tell, like, it's just not, I'm like, Lord, do whatever you need to do because I don't want Easter to just be another Sunday. And 2 days later, I ruptured my Achilles tendon.
Yeah, and what a gift.
And
yeah.
I knew it. I was like, in the middle of doing a parish mission, and that was day three, and I had to do the last night in a wheelchair. And everyone was like, Todd, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. And I said, don't be. I prayed for this. Prayed for this. So I think we have to, when we sit down with our Lord and we give him that time and we say, Lord, do whatever you need to do. We don't exactly always know what that's going to look like, do we, Dan?
No, and sometimes the best laid plans, right? I love this line from the movie Bella, which is an extraordinary movie from years past regarding abortion. But is if you want to make God laugh, show him your plans. Mm-hmm. And I thought that is perfect. You know, I've had a similar experience. And even this year for me, I'm rolling into Ash Wednesday today, and I let my schedule get too tight, and I'm just thinking, you know, I'm the guy who's always preaching about how to have a better Lent, and look what I did to myself. So mm-hmm. So it's we have to be, I don't know, flexible. I think that's a little bit of where you're going. We have to be resilient and not give up. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, you know? So if you find yourself stumbling into Ash Wednesday, as I am, and going, okay, you know, there's only one slot now where I can go to Mass because I scheduled things or whatever, don't get upset about that. There can be good humiliations in these things, kind of like with your Achilles and having to do your mission from a wheelchair. You know, the Lord's at work, and sometimes he wants us to experience the depravity of who we are, you know, the brokenness of who we are. And you know, we make these great plans, and then he says, well, let me just stir things up a bit. And we can either complain and get upset, Or maybe listen a little more attentively, like you're proposing, which is what are you doing, Lord? Maybe this wasn't supposed to be the focus. Maybe it was something else, like impatience or control or self-sufficiency, which those of us who tend to be more disciplined, all of those things can be obstacles to our spiritual growth.
So for the listeners, Dan, that are driving in, maybe they're heading towards Mass on this Ash Wednesday, or thinking, I don't really have my act together. It's last minute. And because we'd been talking for weeks about how to prepare ourselves, but there's all of us there that, you know, wake up, oh, it's Ash Wednesday. What kind of things can they do that to get to Todd's aim, which is to have the best Lent ever?
Yeah, I think there's two categories. We've talked about this a little bit. Is a one discipline that you will keep and one you'll discard to celebrate at Easter. It's what Todd was talking about. The discipline that you keep as you sit down today, you know, just here's how you can overcome this arriving late thing. Just go to Mass and just plan to stay a little bit afterwards and think through this and ask the question, what is the sin or the virtue, the sin you want to get rid of or the virtue you want to develop, and the discipline you engage with that, you will plan to keep all beyond Easter, so for the rest of your life. So what's that one thing? And for me, just as an example, and maybe you guys have examples too, it's exercise. I'm an active person, and I'm in a little better shape than the data says somebody from my age typically is. However, I'm not as, I don't feel as good as I could. So, and I don't take care of my body the way I should. So I want to use that as a spiritual discipline and as a care for the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that's the one I want to keep after Lent. And then the one I want to discard, you know, that's things like maybe as an example, and this isn't mine, but giving up alcohol for Lent, which is a great idea. You know, giving up something that isn't good for you, but that you like, that you can reinstate, or, you know, maybe giving it, maybe this is where the silly thing, I always kind of mock chocolate, you know, giving up chocolate or soda or whatever. But maybe this is one of those kinds of things where you can say, well, I love this sort of food and this sort of indulgence, and I'm just not going to do it until Easter, which then, if what it does is it allows Easter to be a true celebration when you reinstate your, you know, you have a big, three layer chocolate cake or something like that.
Or the bag of peanut M&Ms. You can't mock chocolate,
Dan. Is that your favorite?
Oh, yeah. Don't be mocking chocolate.
Oh,
that's another Thomistic proof that there is a God. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like unmoved mover. It's up there.
I liked how you phrased it, Dan, the sin you want to discard and the virtue you want to keep.
Amen.
And I think that's a really clarifying way.
It's like a formula for sainthood.
Yes, because I was thinking in my mind, okay, I could got a couple of those on the list that I need to do. Just a couple. And when you put it like that, it makes it easier to clarify because people are still sitting. And we talked about this earlier in the week. I just don't want to give up chocolate and just be one of those banal things that you just kind of do.
Flat Lent.
Yeah. You want to go deeper, as you're always telling us. Go deeper. Don't stay in the shallows. You know, make it worthwhile. Make it so when I get to Easter, I am going to somehow be a better person, you know, hopefully noticeable by my families, you know.
Yeah.
In that place.
Yeah, and you know, then one last, I don't know how much time we have, but one other thing is what happens when you fail? And I'm going to admit something on this radio show this morning. I actually failed on the first day of Lent. This morning, I scheduled exercise and I didn't do it. And you know why I didn't? Because I let a contractor yesterday suggest to me a time when they were going to deliver materials. And instead of looking at, instead of protecting it, my time, they took my exercise time. And now, should I beat myself up and give up? No. What I'm going to do is go, okay, I messed it up. I'm going to write a note, a sticky note that says, don't schedule anything unless you check. Like, when are you doing Station to the Cross? When are you going to attend Mass? You know, when are you going to do extra disciplines for Lent? When are you going to exercise? Do not schedule unless you check your schedule, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get an F for today, but I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm just going to double down and try to be more cognizant of this is a different season. I can't just schedule things in like I was able to before because I'm trying to focus on these things that the Lord desires of me or I desire to give to the Lord during the season.
And we can also really... You can get weird when you're tweaking stuff, Dan. Like, I'm the same way. I'm like, I need to exercise more. I literally put a pull-up bar in my office, which everyone made fun of.
No, like, that's great.
They're
though.
Like, Todd, that's so dumb. And I'm like, I use it every day because it's right there.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I mean, just don't, you know, don't let the enemy be the, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. When you fail, get back up. Schedule in what you're going to be doing. Do your daily examine. Be accountable. Just show up. And this Lent will be a lot different than last year.
Amen.
Yeah.
Golly. Gold, baby. Gold.
Yeah. Dan Burke. Always solid. Thank you for joining us. Check out his good work at spiritualdirection.com. We look forward to speaking with you next week, Dan. Hopefully you haven't scheduled anything in our time.
Thanks, Dan.
Have a great day. We thank our sponsor, Farnell Heating and Air. Spring is just around the corner. Schedule your maintenance check now to be sure your system is ready for warmer months. Call 251 251- 471-2674 or go to FarnellAC.com. Farnell Heating and Air, devoted to your family's comfort. Mike, what's happening tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow Michael Pakalik discusses how the office of the bishop is to admonish the sinner. Jonathan Liddle talks about the trans policy fallout at St. Mary's College. And you'll be dropping the blogosphere, Miss Taylor.
Oh, good. I hope to find something Lent-like for Todd.
Well, we already talked about a video that we want to share with our listeners tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tomorrow, too.
It'll be fun.
Uh-huh.
We're enticing you.
I know.
Really good.
Tune
it was on
in.
Twitter. It was on Twitter. And I saw it before Ellen. That's amazing.
Wow. I know.
What world is this?
Wow.
What world is this? All right, good Lent. Uh-huh. Fasting and abstinence today. Mm-hmm. Let's get closer to Christ. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.